Good morning. That was the East States Telephone Company. Hello. Some of you remember when they still had live operators? I hate talking to machines. I get in a bad mood if I call somebody and I get a machine. It just sets me off. And I shouldn't be that way. This month, our whole month theme is going to be when the silent years came to an end. And I'll explain that a little bit when we get into the message. What I'm going to do through the month of December is take Old Testament prophecy and tie it in with the new. So we'll get to see the prophecy, then we'll see the fulfillment. The text that I've chosen this morning is from Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. And if you're familiar with the Old Testament, that's the last book in the Old Testament. And then it will be Luke 1, verses 11 through 16. First Malachi 4, 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Now Luke 1:11 through 17. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right hand side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Father, I thank you that we who were not a people are now called the people of God because of your great mercy. I thank you that you remembered your promises to the fathers, Lord, that anyone who would live by faith, you would call son or daughter. Lord, I ask as we study this prophecy today that you will open every heart to receive from heaven. Father, I ask that you would bind any spirits that may be here to cause deception or dissension and gag them, Lord. Do not let the enemy take your words in anyone's heart today. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I entitled this, When the Silent Years End, Came to an End, because in the prophet Amos, well, how do we go from Micah, Luke to Amos? Well, just bear with me a minute. In the prophet Amos, he's one of the so-called minor prophets. The major prophets like Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, they have these long books and they talk about different events. The minor prophets, God usually had them focused just on one event, one message that he wanted to get across. And he was talking to Amos about apostate Israel. And this was after they came back from the exile. They never worshipped idols again, but they began to worship the law instead of the lawgiver. And God said to the prophet Amos, I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. This is the period of time that's called the silent years. God had sent Israel to Babylon for 70 years because of their worship of idols, and they were broke of that. A remnant came home. They rebuilt the temple with the help of Cyrus, the king of Persia, And then there was another king, I can't think of his name right off. He went ahead and told them to go ahead and finish it. And at this time, they did the law. They did the ceremonies of the law. But as I said, they began to worship the law instead of God. And in Malachi, the first prophet I read from, in the beginning of it, God says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I am your father, where's my honor? He said, if I am your master, where's the fear that's due me? And God starts out these complaints through the prophet Malachi to the nation of Israel. He says, you offer polluted food on my altar. And God would go ahead and ask the question that he said, you're going to ask this. And he said, you ask, how have we polluted your altar? He said, you bring lame and blind animals and offer them to me. God said, cursed is the cheat who vows a good animal and substitutes a bad animal for it. He said, why don't you take those sacrifices to your governor and see if he'll accept it? That gets your head took off. Israel was worshiping God, but all they were doing was being religious. And they thought, if we offer the sacrifices of the law to the priest, like God says, and we tell the priest, yeah, we've been sinning, and he's going to offer these animals up, the blood of the animals would atone for their sin. And God said, I'm not going to hear you. You see, the sin offering had to be without blemish. Now, God told the Jews, if you want to give me a free will offering, and you pick an animal and it is blind, he said, that's okay. But he said, for the sin offering, the animal has to be without blemish. So see, they knew better. But they thought, well, you know, God, take it or leave it. Yeah. Hey, you know, I'm offering you sheep. You told me to offer you sheep. And I wanna tell you something today, church. And I've seen it in my own life, so don't think, well, he's up there pounding on us. How often do we as Christians give God our leftovers? Think about that. I was sharing with Brother Wayne earlier. It's becoming more of a realization to me that I am the Lord's. Not that I'm a highly anointed dude, I'm saying that, but I am his. I've been bought with a price. I am the Lord's, and you know what? He deserves the best I can offer, not my leftovers. You know, I love woodworking, but that can become an idol if I'm not careful. And I can spend all week in the wood shop and then give God 2 hours a week. And I think God says, why don't you try that for your boss? Well, he is my boss. But why don't you do that for the mayor? Think about that. If the mayor come up and said, could I count on you to volunteer? Sure. But you only get me for 30 minutes a week because, you know, I got these shows I got to watch. I got this other stuff I got to do. I got very offended one time. I heard a missionary at this church we were at. And his family, they was in Papua New Guinea. And he come in for a furlough. Missionaries get to do furloughs. And he said something to the church that offended me at first. He said, if all you have to send me and my family is a bunch of patched up, used, wore out clothes, keep them. We'll find something else to wear. And boy, I mean, people in that church was angry, including me. Well, who's he to kick at what God? We were supporting his family financially. Who's he to kick at what we sent? And then I got to think about it, and I thought, he's right. We give God our leftovers. Well, God, I can't wear these breeches no more. I'll send them to the missionary. Nobody cares what he looks like out in the bush. big deal if he has to take 6 inches in so they'll stay on his hips, but it's clothes. We're doing something for the Lord. That's what Israel thinks. Hey, we're serving God, and God says, it don't look like it to me. Israel had become complacent and very religious, but they were worshiping the statutes of the law and not God himself. And something I love from Malachi, we'll get to Luke here in a minute. In Malachi, God says, the Lord, whom you say you are seeking, is suddenly going to show up at the temple. And God said, but who will be able to stand before him? For he will be like a refiner of silver and like a fuller. A fuller is a launderer. They scrub clothes to get the dirt out. Light soap, you know, the whole nine yards. And the Lord said, who can stand before him? Because he will rebuke the sorcerers and the adulterers and the thieves. Which, for the most part, was the Pharisees. The religious crowd. So you see, God said to the prophet Malachi, you've done things your way. You don't want me involved in your lives. I'm going to give you what you want. I ain't going to be involved with you. And for 400 years, there was no prophecy, no revelation. Sometimes, Christian, I want you to understand something. Sometimes in your life, the presence of God will leave you. That ain't what the TV preachers said. They said, as long as you're faithful to send us money, God's just going to bless you, and his presence will be on you. You'll be on the mountaintop all the time, full of joy. No. No, that's not the way it happens. Sometimes, I'm going to kick that poinsettia over if I ain't careful. Sometimes, God withdraws his presence from you, and sometimes it's at very dark periods of your life. And I'll tell you what it's like. Any of you that ever had kids, you know, you used to get them by the hand when they started walking, you'd try to help them walk, then you'd let go. And the kid would take 2 or 3 steps before they realize, hey! And when they said, hey, boom, they fall flat on their face. God does that to test us. Not to tempt us with evil, to test us. What are you going to do when you don't feel my presence? What are you going to do when you actually feel like I'm not there? I used to turn to the judge as a Christian. I used to go find a joint sometimes. Oh, well, God's mad at me. I might as well smoke a doobie. You know, get my head back together. And then I'd smoke a joint, and all I think about was the Lord. That'll ruin the buzz, by the way. Yeah. And then I'd have to repent. I'm not bragging or complaining. I'm just saying I can look back at times in my life, and it wasn't that God was gone, but he made me feel that his presence wasn't there. Maybe he wasn't happy about something. He did that to Israel in the wilderness. He led them through the desert for 3 days without water. How many of you know 3 days in a arid desert, you're going to be thirsty? You know what they did? Did you bring us out here to kill us? Didn't we tell you to leave us alone in Egypt? Where we sat by the flesh pots and ate garlics and leeks? We couldn't stand each other's breath, but boy, at least we wasn't hungry. And God told Moses, I did this to test them. To see what was in them. What was in them? We won't go back to slavery. If you're not going to give us water, you're not going to give us everything we want. We want to go back to Egypt. And God will do that in your life to see where you turn. And that's what finally got me away from alcohol and weed. Is God said, see, that's your God. That's where you turn in your time of need. I've learned now to turn to him. I'm serious. The closer I get to Christ, the more I see my dependence on him. I'm like Paul. He said, I beg the Lord to take that thorn away from me. And the Lord said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And he said, therefore I'll glory in my weaknesses He says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because he says, I know the power of Christ rests upon me. You see, Israel had forgot about the relationship God called them into. They hadn't forgot the religion, but they were tweaking the religion. And the foremost commandment of the law was, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. They forgot that part. If you love somebody, you're not going to offer a blemished animal on the altar. If we really love the Lord, last week I told you, John said, don't love with tongues. Don't give God lip service. Love by what you do. If I really love the Lord, I'm going to give him my best, not my leftover. Now, he told Micah, I'm going to send the prophet Elijah, and he'll prepare my way. And the Greek here, the Hebrew, when I was researching this, this is doubt. God said, I'm going to send him. Now, the King James and English Standard say to convert the father and their children. Dr. Clark says the Hebrew reads the father with the children. The young and the old. God said, I'm sending this prophet to convert young and old alike and make the people ready for the Lord. Or else I'm going to strike this land, the Hebrew says, with a curse, to utter destruction. You remember when God devoted Jericho to utter destruction? He said to Israel, I'm sending this prophet who is the forerunner of the Messiah, and if you don't listen to him, I have described utter destruction for you. In 70 A.D., the town of Jerusalem was leveled. Because that generation, for the most part, rejected God's messengers, including the Messiah. Now, I'm not anti-Jewish. A Jew can be saved just as quick as I can. But they don't have one way to follow me, me have another as a Gentile. We have to go into Jesus Christ. Yeah, we got to go into Christ. And see, God tells Zechariah, the priest, this is good news. And he told Zechariah, I'm going to fulfill this covenant. He wasn't talking about the law. He was talking about the covenant he made with Abraham. That through your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And God told the priest Zechariah, very fitting, God chose a priest. In the tribe of Levi, he said in Ezekiel, the priest's lips should guard knowledge and give instruction to the people. So he picks his priest and says, I'm going to give you a son, you and your wife, and they were old. And it was interesting to me, the name that he gave him. Dr. Clark says, John's not a good translation. It said in the Greek, it loses it. His name comes from a compound of two words. His name is Jehohanan. Hebrew, Jehohanan. There's no J in Hebrew. I hear people saying, you know, God's name is Jehovah. No. It's Yahweh or Yehoah. That sounds funny, doesn't it? Yehoah. There's no J in Hebrew. It's Y. And his name, Jehohanan, or Yehohanan, is a compound of Jehovah Kanan, which means the grace or mercy of Jehovah. Let that settle in there. The angel says, Zechariah, you're going to name him the grace of God. What a God! For 400 years, he was quiet. But boy, when he broke the silence, he broke it big. I think Gabriel was just delighted to get to share this news. God said, now go tell this priest he's going to have a son. His name's to be the grace of God. And Gabriel goes, oh, it's starting. It's starting. 6 months later, he went and told Mary she was going to have a baby. We'll talk about that later. And he said, many will rejoice at his birth. You notice he didn't say everyone will rejoice at his birth. He said many would. And see, God selected this man. And did you hear in the text? He said, he can't drink wine or strong drink. You know what that is? That's a Nazarite. A man or a woman could make a Nazarite vow to God, and they did not drink wine, they didn't eat grapes, they didn't eat raisins, they didn't drink strong drink, any fermented drink. I don't know why, God didn't say why, and they didn't cut their hair. John was like a hippie. If John the Baptist came into a lot of churches today, they probably wouldn't let him through the front door. And the angel said, he will come in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And he will turn many of the children of Israel back to God. This is so cool. God took a priest whose lips should guard knowledge and to instruct the people. And he's the only person I've read of who was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mom's womb. A spirit-filled baby. Wow. Before he was born, he said, Zachariah, I'm giving you Elizabeth a son, and he's my kid. You remember that. He's mine, and I'm giving him to you. You're going to raise him, fitting to be raised by the priest. And the Bible says Zachariah and Elizabeth were both righteous in God's eyes. They were godly people. They just hadn't had any kids. And God said, this boy will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth. Yeah, makes you wonder what it sounds like when he's learning to talk. Hey, anybody, anybody? I don't think it was that. He spoke in Hebrew or Aramaic. Get up and run. Hey, praise the Lord, Mama. I want some bacon and eggs. Would you fix it over? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I hear preachers do that. They use that as skills. I know I'm getting sidetracked. Filled with the Spirit from his birth. It was the Holy Spirit who prompted John to teach the way he taught, and he looked like Elijah. He wore a rough garment of camel hair, just like Elijah. Did you know camels are unclean? Why would God dress one of his guys in camel hair? Yeah, that would be uncomfortable too. He said he wore a camel hair outfit, had a belt around it, and he went into the wilderness until it was time to preach. And God is saying, through this man who I have filled with my Holy Spirit, I'm going to get people ready for the one coming after him. Many of the religious crowd in John's day rejected him, and Jesus rebuked him for that. He said, you saw prostitutes and tax collectors repenting of their sins, and you wouldn't do it. He said, therefore, they're going to heaven before you, if you even make it. I can't imagine what the people thought when this wild man comes out of the wilderness and says, hey, you better repent. And you need to be baptized for the repentance, remission of your sins. That's the first time you read that in the Gospels. Christian church acts like it's our idea. Church of Christ thinks it's our idea. You know, that's what we got in the scriptures. The Pharisees baptized converts. I'm not belittling baptism. John came with a baptism. That's why the Pharisees got irritated with him. They said, who told you to do that? They got to go to the temple and offer a sacrifice for their atonement. And John said, not anymore. There's a new covenant coming. There's a new sheriff in town. And I'm here to baptize you in water. But he said, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Lord, help me. I got ahead of myself. I think I'm preaching some of next week's sermon. I can't help it. This stuff just gets me. Look at the mercy of God. For 400 years, his covenant people are doing it wrong. And he doesn't wipe them out. He says, okay, John's going to tell you, Yehochan is going to tell you what I expect of you. and he's going to get you ready for the Messiah. That's mercy. That is mercy. And God was also initiating the new covenant that he promised all of us to be in. Not just the Jews, but the Gentiles. So we can be called the children of God. And it's all God's doing. We can't earn it. I like Mary's song. When she goes to see Elizabeth, it says, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then Mary sang a song. And she said, the Lord has remembered his covenant promise to our fathers. She's not talking about the law. She's talking about the covenant with Abraham 450 years before the law was ever given. She celebrated because she knew, I think she knew, this is the end of the law. No more animal sacrifices. No more having to try to live by these rules. God is providing a Savior. What a God. You know, Easter is still my favorite Christian holiday because it's an empty tomb. But Christmas means more to me than trees, lights, and presents. It means a time that God is saying to the earth, this is it. Here he is. This is how you get to me. Not keeping rules. Not joining the church. No, I'm for church membership, but that won't save you. I've had people ask me to dedicate their children and they never set foot in the door. And I want to tell them, hey man, that ain't a one-time good for all. You know, now Rick dedicated them, so my kids are going to heaven. That's not what that's about. Some people come in here and I have baptized people and they walk out of the door and they don't come back. When God sent John said to the people of Israel, you're doing it all wrong. He rebuked Herod because he had his brother Philip's wife. Josephus tells the story. Herod and her were having an affair. So he went to his brother and said, look, me and her have been seeing each other for a while. And why don't you just divorce her and let me have her? And Philip goes, well, okay, you can have her. That's what I'd have done. Here, they could flip the quarter and sit here and they can find somebody better. And John rebuked him. He said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Got him killed. But there were a whole lot of people who did listen to the preaching of John, who were baptized, that ended up following Jesus Christ. That was God's plan. But you know, the numbers are minuscule compared to, when you think of how many people used to follow it. I've come to that conclusion in my own life, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't know. I don't argue once saved, always saved. Were they ever saved? Probably not because they're backslid. I don't argue that. This is what I believe. Jesus said, many are called. God in his mercy is reaching out to whosoever will. But Jesus says, if you make a decision to follow me, it's for life. And Jesus himself said, there are people who won't make that commitment. Have you? Does your life really belong to Christ? Is he your Lord? A lot of people call him Savior, don't call him Lord. Hey, my tongue's mine, you know. Is God against us having hobbies and spare time? No. I read where Jesus said his men were so busy, they couldn't eat. And he said, let's go by ourselves over here. Jesus said, you guys need a break. So God's not against breaks. But some of us, when we retire, we're on a constant break. Are you committing to follow Jesus Christ to the end? He said, those are the ones who will be saved. was at a funeral of a cousin of mine, and I didn't appreciate the preacher standing up there talking about how, well, I believe he's walking the streets of glory. My thought was, that's not your decision, who walks the streets of glory and who doesn't. Did he follow Christ? I don't know. Are you following Christ? This is what John did. God sent him and said, you tell them they're wrong, and this is what they need to do. Jesus had thousands of people sometimes following him. And when he finally ascended into heaven, there was 120. That's not a megachurch. Are you committed to Jesus Christ for life? That's why God sent his son to die for us. We've been singing about it. The cross is his final word. This is God's, I knew I was going to do that. This is God's offer of mercy and salvation now. Have you ever taken him up on that offer? Would you stand with me this morning? As I said, we're gonna talk all month about our salvation, and every message is gonna get back around to that, because that's what Christmas is to me. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's Christmas. That's what it says to me. If you've never called on his name, come up here and sit down. I'll be glad to talk with you, or catch me after church if you need to talk. The Lord says, don't harden your voice or your heart against the voice of the Spirit. If God's pulling you, do it. And please come as we sing the song of inspiration.
I've been held by the Savior. I've felt far from above. I've been down to the river, the same of prodigal return. All my hope is in Jesus.
Amen.
Thank God that yesterday's gone.
Yeah.
All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood.
Did you say the same thing?
I'm no stranger to prison.
Yeah.
I've worn shackles and chains, but I'm freed and forgiven. If I'm going back, I'll never be the same. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God that yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God that yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood.
That's our hope and prayer this morning, that every person in this room can say that confidence, that your sins are forgiven, you've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I don't have any written prayer requests. We've got people traveling. Don and Doc, be praying for them, for their safety. There's a lot of people on the back of the bulletin on our prayer list. Be praying for them. Did somebody over here have some? I'm sorry. Okay, your mother-in-law has a mass in the right lung. All right, we'll be praying for that. I'm back at 6 tonight. Dr. Mark will be teaching on child rearing. Had a pretty good lesson last week. I used to say the kids didn't come with a manual, but they do. The Word of God will tell you everything you need to know about raising. Well, I want to ask whoever has our closing prayer to please close out for us.
Go tell somebody about Jesus.